When most of us hanker for well-deserved rest after a long hectic day, he picks up bells, not to do a workout or to shed some weight, but to accomplish a mission. And the mission is to make kettlebell sports popular in India. Quite unusual. His grit to transcend from his desk job and to reach the podium again and again is not just inspiring, but it's a story of blood, sweat, and incessant hard work. Let's swing into our current episode with international kettlebell athlete Samrat Sen. I'm Abhishek, and you are listening to Road to Revamp. Sen in Road to Revamp's latest episode, and we would like to start from asking this question, that who Samrat Sen is. We want to learn more about you.
Okay, first of all, thank you for considering me for this podcast. Well, I am not a professional trainer. Let's start by that. I'm an athlete. I love keeping fit, being fit, and that's what you see on social media. That side of mine with some videos, kettlebell videos, and movement videos sometimes from time to time. Other than that, my regular life is of that of a communicator. I'm a communication specialist.
Okay.
I'm a communication consultant, marketing consultant with a firm based in Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to a regular job. I have a 9-10 hour job which I do, which after I finish I pursue my fitness goals.
Right.
I like keeping fit with my job also. So I have a desk job. I'm sitting most of the day, sometimes traveling, and whenever I get time I try to keep fit, whether it's lifting bells or lifting dumbbells or moving with our animal flow, anything.
Or using your own body weight.
Yeah, using my own body weight for instance.
So how did you, how did you come into kettlebells, and at the same time, how do you manage these two lives? Because one life we see as a kettlebell lifter, we always see something amazing you are doing all day. I mean, you're not posting every day, but every other day or some days. But how do you manage? That is something which is really
important.
First
of all, I was introduced to kettlebells back in 2012 by my friend Mr. Arnav Sarkar.
Mm-hmm.
I started lifting about end of 2012. I started with basic clean and press and the basic lifts with light kettlebell. Slowly, my interest, it really gathered my interest, and I wanted to know more. I was always interested in health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier on, I used to train. I never used to train with much focus.
Right.
I used to go to the gym and you do the usual 3 sets into 10 repetition kind of workouts, which really did nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not lifting heavy, just some pump,
mm-hmm.
So kettlebell training, what it did was it helped me with my fitness goals. It was extremely time efficient because
mm-hmm.
I was working. I could fit kettlebell training into my schedule very well.
Right.
General fitness training. The more I got fitter, I got fitter at a very rapid pace initially because my body took on kettlebells for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing well with it.
Okay. Right.
So once, say after 6-7 months, Arnav told me, why don't you try kettlebell sport? I saw kettlebell sport being played first time in India in 2013, organized by Arnav.
Mm-hmm.
And I was judged there. Before I even started, learned to lift in kettlebell sport, I had become a judge because I was well versed with the rules.
Right.
Then 2014, early 2014, January, I took part in kettlebell sport.
Mm-hmm.
Simple local event in Calcutta. I loved it. I loved that entire process of chasing a goal. planning and hitting my mark. I loved it. Then my passion took off. In between, I had also attended a course with Mr. Steve Cotter in Calcutta.
IKF,
of course.
Yeah.
And after 2014, my passion took off even more. And I started training seriously with double belts. Yes, as you say, I've been juggling with between my work and belts. It's very tough. It's an understatement.
Okay.
It is very, very tough.
Yes.
Okay. Because I train alone. That is one of the major reasons why it can be quite daunting at times. I come back from home, say 7:30, quarter to 8. My body is telling me, just go to sleep or, you know, watch some TV, relax your mind. No, but I can't do that. You know, if I have a program given to me, if I have a competition or if I change the fitness goal, I have to do that workout. If I don't do that workout for some reason, I'm like one workout back. Main peeche pad ja raha hoon.
Right.
Take care. So I need to, if it's 8:30, I'm starting out. Once I start out, then I know I can finish. But the starting or process, it can be very daunting on the mind, especially in competition time. It is even more difficult to balance. Work will not understand that you are a kettlebell sport athlete. My office will not understand.
Yes,
I don't expect them to understand. Also, work comes first. That is how I am earning my bread and butter. If there is a requirement for me to, you know, work for even more longer hours, I will have to do that and sacrifice my training time.
Right.
So that will lead to mental stress that I'm not training.
Okay.
Because I'm chasing a sport, because I'm chasing a goal. If there was no goal involved, I can always delay my fitness, training by another day or so. But it is very, very, very daunting. And another reason it gets tougher is because I train people in kettlebell sport. I don't have many students, but I just have a few because I really don't have the time to take on many students. So it's a three-way life. Job, trainer as a kettlebell trainer, a kettlebell coach, and as an athlete. But being an athlete is what gives me most satisfaction because I'm still learning the sport. It's been almost 4.5 years. I'm still learning about the sport. I'm still learning every day when I'm lifting. I'm learning something or the other. And I'm looking to continue in this way for long. Maybe, hopefully, with God's grace. Yeah.
But again, the question remains, what actually motivates you to do such hard work? I am in this industry. So I have to do something or other. And it will directly or indirectly helps me as a fitness professional. But even if you don't train, nothing will happen. If you'll train only 2 days, nobody knows. But why did you choose such a hard sport? It's not easy. I mean, it looks like, it's finished in 10 minutes or 15 minutes or at the max in 30 minutes. But I mean, it's really, I really want to understand what actually makes you, it makes you happy, or it takes you in some kind of trance or in a meditative state or something like that.
I understand what you're saying. Because a sport is so goal-oriented and not and performance-oriented and not vanity-oriented,
yes,
it's what inspires me.
At least in India, there is no such motivation from, general public.
I'm not here to lift the kettlebells or play the sport to lose fat or to build muscle.
Right.
Whatever happens, if I lose fat and build muscle following a good diet with this sport, it's all a byproduct. My primary product is to enhance my performance, to get a good performance, to regularly train, keep my conditioning high, to keep my skills level intact and perform. It's a very tough sport. That 10 minute, it's extremely tough on the mind, endurance training. Let me start by saying, I used to be an athlete before lifting kettlebells. I used to be, I played cricket for Junior Bengal back in the year 2000-2001. Then I had to leave. Then I had joined martial arts for 6 years. I had become a national level silver medalist over there. This is just before I started working. obviously, when I started my job, I could not continue my athletic life career as a martial artist because I used to get beaten up and I couldn't go to office with
swollen eyes
and swollen cheeks. So I had to find a place where I could still satisfy my inner athlete.
Okay.
And at the same time, get fit. So I started with kettlebells as normal fitness exercise. Just happy being fit, yeah, getting a good endorphin release, right. Yeah, getting a good sweat, good workout. But I wanted to do something else.
You could have stopped there.
Yeah, I could have stopped there, but I wanted to do more. I wanted to see where my limits are. Mm-hmm. So for now, from then and now till now, I can see that I've been pushing my limits. Recovery is an issue at times because of my work hours.
Right.
I come back home very, very tired, and still the love for the sport, you know, I have to get that 100 reps, I have to get the 50 reps, that goal motivates me, you know. It's not like aaj nahi karunga, nahi karna padega. If I have to be somebody, I have to really be happy with myself as an athlete, I have to push myself to a certain limit. Yeah, but right. That doesn't mean I'm being careless or callous about it. If I can't do, say, 150 reps with X number of weight, I will not push blindly and bullheadedly just to reach that. I have to plan, I have to progress, I have to maybe take a step back to do that, I will do that.
Right.
I have to keep a sane, but now it's getting tougher, maybe I have to train periodically and plan out my journey ahead.
Okay. You talked about martial arts.
Hmm.
Previously, you were doing martial arts. Hmm. So, why did you choose martial art? And then why actually you left martial art? Because, like you said, that swollen eyes and all, that's one thing. But I find martial arts very relaxing. I mean, if you are just practicing martial arts, and I have seen some of your old pics in which you are doing some splits and doing some other moves. So how did you, overcome that, it's a kind of high. Doing a high kick gives you something else which you can never achieve by, you know, pulling 200 kg deadlift or, I mean, anything. So how did you manage to get out of such a, martial art is not just a sport. It's much more deeper.
It's a way of life.
Yeah, it's a way of life, which we can say in the words of Bruce Lee. But yes, I from cricket to martial art, then martial art to this kettlebell. So somewhere in the middle, I'm sticking to martial art for now. So how was those years? And do you still train in martial arts?
Okay. So how did I get into martial arts?
Yes.
My motivation to get into martial arts was one man. His name is Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Fascinated. I used to be fascinated by him. His high kicks and very attractive physique.
Split.
Yeah, and he's a split master. He can still do splits at 50 years of age. I used to go crazy looking at him. And I decided in my teens that I must do something.
Right.
I started practicing high kicks at home. Obviously, it didn't work out well. I fell down. I hurt my hip flexors and everything. So I joined a kickboxing studio at Alipur. I had no clue what I'm signing up for. I mean, I thought this martial arts is all about high kicks and good-looking track pants. But it was a lot more. You know,
right.
It really brought me down to earth. And there's a inherent toughness, the way people train for martial arts, bare-bodied runs, bare feet runs on the road.
Right.
Okay. Frog jumping on the road. Okay. After running, you are doing foot push-ups on the footpath.
Right.
Push-ups on any surface.
True.
These are all what makes a tough martial artist, a tough athlete, you know, being able to do anything anywhere, not only in a sparkling studio.
Yeah.
And then you come and then you do lift some weights and then you hit the punching bag, then you fight. So what happened is I started doing that. Initially I found it very tough, but I started loving it. At the end of it, when I took a bath and packed up my things and started going home every day after training, I felt like I achieved a good day of training. It gave me a lot of satisfaction.
Mm.
You know, the sweet pain of banging bones, shins to shins, or a little bit hurt in the ribs, or some kind of soreness in the back.
Huh.
Achha lagta tha.
Right.
Back then, it used to feel like badges of honor, and it reminded me of a good training session.
Mm-hmm.
Achha hua aaj ko, achha hua. So I trained well. I still have a good remains, a good flexibility as well. Back then I used to have even more because they used to train me for splits and different flexibility exercises.
Right.
I could do high kicks. I can even do high kicks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought quite a few matches in Calcutta sessions. Then I went to Bhubaneswar, Orissa. Over there, I won the silver medal, then got beaten black and blue in the finals. Absolutely, I was demolished. All that was fine. I mean, I came back, learned a lot of respect from my mm-hmm. friends and stuff. But then I realized that, you know, as I was aging,
mm-hmm.
flexibility wasn't getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I was still practicing. And somewhere, I was the work was coming, life was taking place.
Uh-huh.
Back then, I used to be a student.
Right.
So, I had no income, no money with me in my pocket. So, I used to be like, let's go and fight, let's break my jaw, let's break his jaw,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. So, once I started working, I was told that you have to take care of how you look.
Right.
Okay. Because in a corporate job, you can't turn up with a black eye or a blue cheek and look too rugged. Huh? Because I have to earn money.
Right.
Right. So back then I still trained for martial arts for a few months after I started working. Then it was becoming a little too much. Then I started training with my friends. I left my studio club, started training with my friends for some time, self-defense and different forms of martial art mixed. I took advice from different people who followed different forms of martial art. Then I was like, competitions nahi ho raha hai abhi. Whom should I try my skills on? Nothing yes. to do. Then I stopped it. Then I trained people also in martial arts mm-hmm. for a few years. Then I stopped it. After a little while, is what when kettlebells happened to me.
Okay.
And I thought that kettlebell is an everyman's fitness tool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's a sport where I can lift till I'm 50 also.
Right.
Not the same weight maybe. Maybe lesser weights. I can train for longer years. Without extensively injuring myself.
Longevity.
Yeah, the longevity is there. I can train. I can train at my own pace. I can train at my home. I can train anywhere, anytime and keep fit. And maybe even play for competitions. That's how things are.
And what other modalities you train in except kettlebells? Like these days, you know, everything is there. TRX, CrossFit and barbells and Olympic weightlifting. What not? So, people are running like crazy these days.
Yeah, I've seen the CrossFit is there, Olympic lifting is there, and all sorts of new forms of training, yeah. Viper, and what all. I just, when I see these things, I hardly understand these, some tools, I Google them. Because honestly, as I said, I'm not a fitness professional, yes. I'm still learning. And I don't have access to a gym. There's no gym where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have time to go to a gym.
Okay.
If I go to a gym, after my work and return home at 10, 30, 11, I will not have time to spend time with my family members.
Mm.
So, kettlebell is the primary mode of training for me. Other than kettlebells, I am certified animal flow coach and I train myself and others in animal flow also. Animal flow helps me, you know, days I don't want to lift anything. I just go out in the field, run a little bit, do some flows, try to understand my body better.
Right.
Okay, and decompress my spine. Mm-hmm. It's very therapeutic in for your body because you're twisting, turning all planes of motion, right. And it really helps me cool down. Rather, it's a great warm up and cool down platform. It really stretches my body out. Other than that, the usual freehand training is there: push ups, squats, and stuff like that. But yeah, I haven't trained with TRX yet. I've tried once, but not really on a regular basis. And the other two modes of training I follow, maybe in the future more, because if I have an access to gym, I can maybe try my hand in, you know, Olympic lifting or weightlifting.
I think in a way it's good, like you are focused because
yeah.
you, I mean, you have limited opportunities, and that's why your focus, this minimalistic approach is in fashion, in corporate culture, redundant, being redundant, decrease the things.
I don't want to try too many things. Don't want to have my fingers stuck in too many pies. I just want to focus on one or two things and, you know, develop it. Right. So that I can always, say that I'm good in these things. You know, I can't be good in 10 things and try 10 things and be, say, main expert. I don't want to sound like that or do anything like that. I want to, but I'm not saying that I will not try or I don't have a flexible mind. I do have flexible mind. I definitely want to go and try. If somebody wants to teach me Olympic lifting, I will definitely go and try to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
But
you must have time for
that.
Yeah,
exactly. I must have time for that more than anything else.
You talked about Animal Flow. Can you elaborate it slightly more? Because it's another great tool. And I think very few modalities are out there which actually let you do all these things without a gym. And in a very small space, you can do your Animal Flow. So can you please elaborate it slightly more? What is it actually?
I first saw videos of Animal Flow, Mike Fitch, who's the founder of Animal Flow, back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I started imitating his moves, mimicking moves at home and see. And he was so smooth. I really liked the way he moved. I mean, it was really cool to see that. I wanted to do that badly. I started training at home. Obviously, I didn't know whether I was doing it correctly or not.
Mm-hmm.
But from those videos, I could understand that this is how you want to move. So when the certification happened in early 2016, I went for it. I really enjoyed it. It's a very different form of training. There are a lot of other bodyweight movement flows also.
Right.
Along with Animal Flow. Animal Flow is a particularly mixture of b-boying, capoeira, breakdance. It's a hybrid form of fitness system.
Okay.
Where you're moving or mimicking behavioral patterns of animal.
Okay.
So whether it's a beast or whether it's a crab, whether it's an ape or whether it's a crocodile, you're moving very differently. Your joints are moving differently. Your muscles are, being challenged with different movements. Right.
Right.
It is not just about lifting a bell or lifting a dumbbell. Your muscles have to push your body in a different way.
Okay.
It is not as simple as walking also. So it challenges, not only the body, challenges the mind. Neuromuscular coordination has to be at the top of your game to, put together a successful flow.
Right.
Which move will logically come after which move has to be there. You can't be like random also at the same time. If you want to do well in Animal Flow.
Right.
If you want to just stick to maybe 2-3 moves, not do a flow, that's also fine. I mean, you can do that, whatever you want to. But if you want to do a flow, if you want to get into more like a trance while flowing,
right,
your neuromuscular coordination has to be seamless. It can't break. So that level of fitness or that level of skills I'm still yet to achieve, where I'm seamlessly flowing continuously. I can do a flow or two, but then I have to take a break. Animal Flow does lovely things to your body. I mean, it stretches you out so well. Only after the session you will understand how you feel. I mean, if you're sitting all day, okay, if you're tired, you're fatigued, you don't want to lift, you don't want to do any resistance work or serious resistance work, you can always do Animal Flow. Obviously, that's also resistance work when you're moving your own body.
Yes.
Yeah, but since it has some kind of movement and flow involved, in the sense there is a speed factor also, there are angles where your body is stretched awkwardly. there are angles where your neck is stretched,
right,
okay, which you normally don't do in regular life, and that's how you get the benefits of the Animal Flow. It's unconventional. That's the biggest plus.
Right.
Animal Flow. It is not your just simple push up or a squat or a pull up. It's very unconventional. It twists your body differently, which you would not do in normal life, and it really helps you decompress.
Okay, in every possible
way. In every possible way.
Did you ever try or have you ever tried Animal Flow on music?
Not really, no. I haven't tried that, but now that you say, I might give it a shot.
Yeah, because I was having a flow class with a movement artist, John, from Norway. and he made us do almost same moves like Animal Flow teaches on a contemporary dance music, and it opens a lot of possibilities, which I feel, I mean, will be amazing to, you know, incorporate.
Definitely, in definitely.
Flow practice.
Yeah, definitely. See, it's all Animal Flow is all choreography also. I mean,
yeah.
The way we design flows for our students, it's all choreography. Has to be very clever choreography.
Right.
Okay. If we are just doing with our voices, it has to be clever choreography. If you are doing with music, that has to be different. You know. So yeah, there is a. With something like Animal Flow and any other body flow movement, their possibilities are endless as
right.
to how you want to take your flow together.
Because I have seen as my body's flexibility and mobility is increasing with time, I can create my own flow without even, you know, preparing or choreographing the
yeah.
flow. And music helps a lot in reaching those limits.
Yes, of course. Music will help as you get fitter. You will be, your body will be open to more movements,
yes,
more movements and more flows. And one of the cornerstones of what Animal Flow is based on is your creativity.
That's true. Exactly.
You have to be an artist to put together a flow. You have to be an absolute artist. I mean, you can make your creativity go wild,
right?
And do, and there is no particular moves that you, you know, bookish moves. I mean, you have to let your creativity run wild, but at the same time be logical with your moves.
Yeah.
I mean, after certain moves, this X number of moves, Y only aa sakta hai, X ka X fir nahi aa sakta hai. But you have to let your creativity take you to one floor to the other.
So there are foundation moves, master them. There are few transitions, master them, and then play with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to learn the, as I said, in any fitness system, you have to learn the foundation moves and have to grasp them and, you know, learn them very well before start flowing.
Right.
You have to learn the basics of the foundation moves.
And then only flow comes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
These days, kettlebell has been associated with fat loss. How true it is, and if it is true, like people say, you can, like I learned from you and many other, like when I sang one kettlebell athlete, that you can finish a good workout in 10 to 15 minutes if you have good technique and all. But is it helpful in fat loss? And if it is, then how?
See, there are two things I would like to say.
Yeah.
Any kind of loss, when you talk about weight loss or fat loss, your diet is the king over there.
Yes.
Okay, any kind of your food is... If I'm lifting kettlebells for 1 hour and having rubbish food, I'm not going to lose any weight or lose any fat.
Right.
But yes, since kettlebell ka, you know, the nature of kettlebell is compound, and the movements are such where you are using your entire body to move a kettlebell.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the calorie burning factor is much higher because you're using your overall body. You're using larger muscles group to move the kettlebell. Okay. If you're doing a clean and a jerk or a clean and a press, you're cleaning your racking and then you're pressing or jerking, using your entire body to do that.
Right.
And that's why your calorie burning and metabolism shoots up.
Okay.
And there are, depend on what you do for those 10-15 minutes. If you're doing a kettlebell complex without keeping the bell down, it will burn tremendous amount of calories. 15 minutes, you can get a killer workout.
Right.
If you're doing an EMOTM, every minute on the minute, I'm sure you know what that
yes,
is.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can, not only hit your calorie burning marks, you can put up a tremendous amount of volume.
Mm-hmm.
If you go for 15 minutes, 15 swings, you're hitting a lot of volumes. Okay, hitting a lot of volume. Yeah, you can burn fat, definitely. But again, your fat burning is not just based on training. It's based on diet as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're putting your training into it. Yeah. What kind of sets you're doing. What kind of speed you're going at.
So I think, I think it is really important to first dial your technique right before going into this intensity.
Of course.
Because whatever it is, EMOTM or AMRAP or any cycle.
Yeah, the technique has to be there. You cannot go into a kettlebell session or on any other fitness session without knowing the right technique. I've seen a lot of lifters just lift without any proper technique and
yes,
get hurt.
Yes.
Okay, have patience, take time. There's no hurry. You don't have to look good in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Learn how to clean a bell. If you don't know how to clean a bell, then you don't know how to lift.
Right.
Okay. Taakat se ut jata hai bell, but you should know how to lift properly, clean the bell to avoid injuries. Because any kind of lifting you're doing, if you're doing it wrong, you'll be having injuries. Yes. I've had it myself. I never used to know how to clean the bell initially. Mm-hmm. And I've had tissue injuries all over. So you must know how to swing the bell. Mm-hmm. You must know how to snatch the bell if you know how to snatch. They are the basics. Don't try to copy videos from YouTube.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't suggest that to anybody. Learn under a certified trainer. You know, take time. Be humble. Don't try to copy others. Okay. Learn at your own pace, learn with your own skills, and you know, enjoy the journey more than anything else. I've enjoyed the journey. Okay. Yeah. I've been the person who's taught me Arnav, you know, he's taught me in the old school way. You know, haath todwa ke sikho, but sikho.
Right.
You know, learn it the way, even if you get injured, learn it properly. You know, don't watch and only YouTube videos and copy from that. You know, learn on your own, learn on your own. I used to avoid cleans.
Because it hurts your forearm.
Oh my God, yes. So now I can do cleans without any problem. It takes time. That's what I want to say.
So you are training a lot of trainees also. Not a lot of, but selected few.
Yeah, selected few.
And do you think Indians can actually rise on the world kettlebell map? And do you think we have such genetics and hardworking people in the country?
See, it's a very important question, this one. Thanks for asking. Right now, India as a kettlebell sport country is way behind USA or the European countries. Yes. I'm not even talking about Russia.
Yes, they are.
I mean, Russia is at a different level.
Yes.
Okay, it is one of their government-recognized sport.
Right.
In the USA or in the European countries, has not recognized. It's still a recreational sport. In India, it's also a recreational sport played by handful people.
Yes, very few.
Very few people will play is playing the sport. And unless there is recognition over here, unless there is recognition by authorities, unless there is money into the sport, sponsors, I don't see how far an athlete will be spending for his own improvement. I mean, this is a self-sponsored sport. I'm going to X country to play a competition. I'm having to spend it all.
Right.
Okay. So, if an athlete is passionate, I don't think, I feel there should be, you know, recognition for the sport. There should be sponsors for the sport. Every sport has a sponsor. I mean, in our country, only cricket is properly recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And kettlebell sport, as it is, it's a lesser known sport all across the world.
Mm.
Even if there are overall 1,000 people playing, still is majorly unrecognized.
Right.
And in a country like India, where you know, when the first time I lift a kettlebell, people say, hey, you'll break your back and all these things, and
right,
there are a lot of misconceptions. You know, to fight these misconceptions and come out, it's tough. And over here, as per your question, where an athlete can match up to the international athletes,
yes,
it's going to take a long time, Vishay. To be very honest,
right,
I love my country. I'm not going to say that, you know, yes, we can in 5 years beat to the Russians.
Yes,
or you can five beat. I mean, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. It's not going to happen. We've just, the sport in India is just about around 5 years. It's going to be 5 years.
Yes.
5 years, around five, 5 years.
Years.
Yeah, 5-6 years only. And 5-6 years, may the athletes you see have trained in this sport for 4 years. And the people who are in the other countries abroad, they've been training in the sport for longer time than us.
I've seen 6-year-old girls are doing kettlebell.
Yeah,
lifting,
the entire fitness thing is ingrained among kids and abroad so well. People take up to sports faster, whether it's kettlebell lifting or any other lifting.
Right.
Okay. Ask some parent to make her 6-year-old daughter clean a 4-kilo kettlebell over here and
yes,
see the reaction of that parent.
Right.
It'll be as good as I'm going to destroy or something like that.
Yeah, my 6-year-old niece, she's doing deadlifts with 12 kg kettlebell. She comes to my room and, you know, just lift those bells. And even I feel afraid, like something may go wrong. I think we should get over with this mentality and Let them play with the bells.
One must find out the strength and weakness of his own body. I mean,
yes.
Kuch hone ka pehle, if we start reacting, you know, you will get hurt, don't do this. Then what is the point of living?
That's true.
I can get hurt walking also. I mean, right. I should not be saying, ye nahi karna hai, wo nahi karna hai, before, you know, trying out something. Before, even I started kettlebells, a lot of people told me, you know, you'll break your arm, you'll break your back.
Back is the main concern.
Oh my God, everybody thinks kettlebells are bad for the back. Yes. But it really strengthens your posterior chain. That is the truth of it if you do it properly. Yeah. One must have knowledge. One must have necessary skills to, you know, pass comments like these.
Actually, I think we have very few trainers in this sport, because every gym these days have kettlebells, but I haven't seen many good trainers in those gyms who can actually handle the bells. So the training which people are getting from those trainers are coming from YouTube University. So I think maybe that is the reason people are against kettlebell as a tool. Fitness.
You see, as you said, most of the gyms, these trainers are not teaching properly.
Yeah.
And I've seen many gyms where kettlebells are lying in one corner.
Right.
Nobody's even touching them.
Yes.
They are seen as tools of destruction. Oh my God, look at how it's shaped. Look at, there's a handle to it. It is weird. It is weird to lift it. Yeah, you know, because of lack of knowledge of those people who are training others, and maybe they're hurting their client, and the client say, I don't want to touch them. Then the client is going and telling to her friends, you know, I did kettlebells and it hurt my back. And that's how it becomes word of mouth, and people start, you know, saying, no, I don't want to do kettlebells. So it is because of many poor understanding of the bells. And also, there are a lot of bad videos on YouTube.
Yes.
Teaching kettlebells and showing absolute rubbish skills. I mean, YouTube is not the right place to go and learn about something as refined as kettlebells.
I think it's a kind of huge library where you have a lot of books. Some of them are worst, some of them are best. So,
yeah. There is two things. You know, there are advantages of internet in today's life is you can get good information, you can get bad information, and you can get information overload also.
Yes.
Okay. Too much information. But you have to really do some research and understand that this information is good or this information is bad. You can't be like going and picking the first video, you say, Sikhna hai mere ko.
Yes.
You can't be doing that. You have to have some kind of refined thinking. You have to think it through what you are learning. You can't be like copy-pasting others' job. You can't be copy-pasting. Don't be a copy-paster.
Right.
Even if you do a mistake, do your own, create your own mistake. Don't be a copy-paste mistake. I mean, don't even copy others' mistakes.
Right. So, there is a controversial question, because CrossFitters do a certain kind of swing, you must have seen.
Hmm.
They do that American swing, they're taking the bell all the way up over their head. And like whatever I know, because I have been a CrossFit coach, then I have learned kettlebells with Strong First Kettlebell Method and IKFF. In IKFF and Strong First and other kettlebell experts, they say you don't need to bring the bell all the way up until, unless you are doing a snatch or doing a jerk. So do you think it's an efficient way to do American swing?
See, once the bell has crossed your chest, the bell has no function.
Yes.
Okay, it is weightless. So whether you take it up is not going to add any extra muscle to you.
They do it with both hands.
Both hands, yeah.
Yes.
So once it crosses your chest level, you are pushing the initial bell out of your system. It just crosses your chest level, is going to be weightless. It's going to go up only. So why take it so up and do what over there? You're not pressing the bell up. You're not snatching the bell.
And actually, I see people, they use their hands a lot, because I don't know, but I feel that hips can create certain amount of force. After that, you'll have to
use
take
your
it up. Take it up with your hands.
Yeah, you're obviously engaging your arms when you're locking out the bell overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I've tried that.
Right.
Didn't like it too much. I thought, it's best when you're swinging it, whether it's hard style or soft style, at your chest level or midriff level. And going up there really has no proven benefits that it gives you over other lifts.
Yeah, because in CrossFit, only laymen comes.
Yeah.
They're no athletes, or they're no gymnasts.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that kind of T-spine extension, it's going to hurt your shoulders.
Obviously. So, yeah, keep it simple. And my motto is keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Do a swing like a swing.
Right.
And not try to do too much circus with the swing.
Because I think this is the most basic exercise.
Absolutely,
it's
the most basic thing.
Teach to their clients.
It is a basic exercise which you can do correctly. Can strengthen your back, your glutes, your hams, your core, your grip. It can force them in steel, you know. But if you try to be fancy with it, I mean, you're defeating the purpose.
Right. Okay, let's get back again to your athletic career in kettlebell. You have been lifting on international level for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and you are going to participate again in next competition in Malaysia.
Mm.
When you go to international level and you are from a country which has no presence in kettlebell sports, how do you manage that kind of stress when people see like a person is coming from India? And you have done really well in some competitions. So how do you manage that kind of stress and the aspiration of your countrymen?
There is no way to manage the stress. Stress will be there.
Okay.
Yeah, let me put it simply.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't manage the stress. Stress will be there. You have to fight through the stress.
Uh-huh.
You fight through the anxiety and expectations. When I go outside, I've been outside before. Indian lifters are still not very well known outside.
Mm-hmm.
There have been lifters, my fellow countrymen who's gone and represented India before.
Parag Mehetre is one.
Yes, of
them.
Course. Vinay has been there. There has been Manu Rugel who's
yes.
there. I really respect them for what they have achieved. I have been there myself before. Indian lifters need to go out and play more, to be recognized more, and to give respectable performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Show good skills.
Right.
Okay. Because I always prefer skills before numbers.
Right. Okay.
Skills before numbers. That has to be there. Show good skills, you'll be recognized well.
Right.
Okay. If you are putting up a video on Facebook, show decent skills. Show some knowledge of your working knowledge of what you're lifting. That's how you gain some kind of a respect of what you're doing. And as far as expectations are concerned, people, my lifter friends, my fellow countrymen,
yes.
understand what I'm doing, how tough is it or how easy it is. But others, laymen, don't really understand what I'm doing.
Idea.
Yeah, they have no idea. They understand, okay, I'm playing for India. They wish me well.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's a tough sport, but doing 40 reps might be very tough, might be very easy. They wouldn't know how to make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, right now it is at a level, at a stage where I would say, by going outside,
mm-hmm.
when we are playing outside, we are in a way introducing the sport to our own country. Because if I'm going and saying I played for India, people will wonder, what did you play for India? Okay, kettlebell sport, he's playing kettlebell sport, this is something called kettlebell sport. Okay, let me look into it, what is it? And he's played for India, okay, interesting. No, that's how we go outside and we bring back our memories, our performance, and people say, nahi, there is something called kettlebell sport.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to play. People are going abroad to play. People are going to perform. Somebody wins a medal. Somebody wins a certificate. You're bringing back some experience into the country. You're bringing back international experience into the country. And then you impart that experience to others. You that's how I've started teaching people. And my students have been abroad and played too. That's how it goes. You know, the more you play, the more experience you get. And there's more to teach.
So what is the planning of kettlebell fraternity to make this sport more popular and viable for general public? I mean, if kids will come to know about it, then only they'll take it up as a sport. So as an educator, like, you train people, you are an athlete, how do you have any future plans to, you know, make this sport more visible?
Honestly speaking, Abhishek, kettlebell sport, at one hand, it's a simplistic sport because you're
yes.
lifting a sub-maximal weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's every man's fitness tool. You can do it at your home. It's time to be efficient. After a point, it stops becoming every man's sport.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tough sport.
Right.
It is a very, very, very tough sport, you know. I'm not joking. I will not be passionate and saying sab koi kar sakta hai. You know, should have the will, should have the power, should have the passion.
Right.
That is all that is there. You know,
yes.
People will have that. But let's be realistic. One has to be realistic when playing any kind of sport at a particular level. By saying that, we've had tried to introduce sport in India.
Mm-hmm.
We've had competitions. We will have competitions again. But the problem is something like an endurance sport. You know, kettlebell sport is not really a spectator sport.
Yes.
10 minutes, people are watching. What is this doing the same thing again and again and again?
There is no excitement.
Yeah, there is no excitement. But the person who's lifting, he knows how tough
yeah.
it is.
He knows.
So, more the people know the sport, and if they've lifted and then they see other person lift, then they've appreciated
right.
kya ho raha hai, 3 minute mein kya ho raha hai, 5 minute tak kya ho raha hai, 7th minute, what is he going through? Because I've also lifted, I know
yes.
how it feels. But any random person is saying, he'll just watch for 30 seconds and 1 minute, look here, there and go.
Right.
It is not like a big Olympic lifting or a power lifting where one person is, you know, one rep max kar raha hai, 200-300 kilo leke. That looks attractive.
Yes.
Okay. That has a wow factor. Wow, look at the weight he's lifting. Okay.
Yeah.
Kettlebell sport is not really an attractive sport that way. It's not a spectator sport.
Because it's not a very huge weight, 24 kg,
yeah.
28 kg.
Yeah, but it is an endurance sport.
Yes.
I mean, endurance is time. Endurance is multiple repetition.
Right.
And for people to have the patience to watch that, you know, it will take some getting for us to do
mm-hmm.
in the future to make this sport bigger. I mean, many people have come to the sport in India, has left also, lost interest,
mm-hmm.
again came back. A lot, only a few have stuck to this
yes,
sport.
Yes,
only
that
a few.
Is, that is really...
Yeah, so it is going to be tough. It is not going to be easy. Predominantly in a country where fitness hasn't been the primary focus ever.
Yeah. Now it is in focus.
It is getting in focus. People are, there are a lot of knowledgeable trainers in the country as well. People are learning. People are doing their certifications and understanding what fitness is. They are more open to new fitness systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they are also open to more kettlebell sport.
As you talked about many times in this conversation about certifications, do you think it is really... vital to certify in anything? I mean, there are things. I mean, I have done countless certifications, mm-hmm. but in the end, I realize that more you practice, and even you are not certified, you are doing some workshop or you are doing something. I mean, if you have idea how to extract information from internet, then even you can learn.
So you're internet certified.
No. I'm not saying, like, you know, people do high school.
Yeah.
But they don't know enough math like Ramanujan used to. I mean, I'm not saying certifications are bad, but sometimes I see the race after certifications. People are doing countless certifications.
I completely agree with
yeah.
you. This has become a certification market.
Right.
I mean, the benefit it has, definitely, a lot of international trainers, we're getting access to.
Yes.
You are getting access to a lot of knowledge, which was previously unthinkable.
Yes.
10, 15 years back, what were certifications? People used to do the traditional CSAs or
yes.
other certifications.
Yes.
But these two-day certification courses, which has come up recently, it largely depends on who is doing it,
mm-hmm.
okay? How serious is about it. A lot of people attend these two-day certifications. If they attend the two-day certification, after a month, they started training others.
Yeah.
Even before mastering the lift themselves, or even before mastering the movement themselves, they start training.
Right.
I really don't understand how can they do that. I mean, they are not being, first of all, they are not being honest to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not being honest to their clients as well.
Right.
I mean, if I've learned done a two-day course, I want to understand, learn it properly, make sure I'm efficient at lifting, efficient at movement, and then only I'm taking... others taking
as a trainee.
I'm teaching others. I will be very dishonest with my own career as a profession if I'm learning a two-day course and after a week I'm training others. Say, hey, I've got certified. I've
yes.
got 10 certifications, but I don't know jack shit.
Yes, that's what's happening in this fitness.
If a lot of people have done their level one courses or whatever courses, kettlebells, how many people know how to make a kettlebell program?
Right.
If you ask them, most of them say, well, they don't
oh, for
even understand
any program.
Huh. How to make a periodization table.
Yes.
How to assess a client or how to... I'm not a fitness professional, but
right.
I've delved into the subject and today I know how to make a kettlebell program.
And because you make your own programs
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you have to understand, you have to really juice out what you're good in.
Right.
You know, there should be a place where people question you. Yeah, you're expert in this. What is the answer to this?
Mm-hmm.
I should be knowing everything.
Right.
If I'm attending a, say tomorrow, if I attend a wiper workshop or if I'm attending a barefoot workshop,
mm-hmm.
I will try to understand how much there is to learn. And what is the basic level first tick I want to first check in the box if I've learned the basics first.
Right.
I want to understand. So these two-day certifications are a bane and a boon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People take advantage of it, show off their clients, say, maine kar liya.
Right.
Somebody get to the certificate, that doesn't mean you're becoming an expert, man. I mean,
that's true.
You're certified as a trainer, one, but your real certification come after you actually actually practice it.
Right.
That is where your actual learning happens. The 14 ghanta mein kya learning? 7 hours each day, what will you learn in 14 hours? Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, you learned some drills.
You learned
now
some
go
drills.
And grill.
You understand. Then you
yes.
put yourself into the thing. Train every day if need be. Get
yes.
better at it. Don't start teaching others just a week or 10 days after.
Like when I did my first handstand workshop,
mm-hmm.
I asked my coach, the trainer, he was a circus artist, and I asked how many hours every week I should practice. He said, ask me how many hours every day you should practice. And I said, okay, I agree with your idea. Tell me how many hours I should practice to become a hand balancer like you. He said, 8 hours every day for next 20 years, you'll be like me. So,
yeah, you said you like him. So obviously,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he said 8 hours every day because I started when I was 5 years old.
It takes time to master a certain thing. It takes time. I'm still learning.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it takes time.
I think 2 days certification, then go and practice at least 2 years.
Yeah.
And
you have
then...
to be honest with yourself. That's
right.
the thing. You can't be looking for certification to earn more money. That should not be the case. You should not be, hey, mera ek naya badge ho gaya. Your
Never.
Badges will be your client ka results. That will
yes.
be your badges.
And money follows.
Money
seen,
will follow.
Yes.
If you're honest with yourself, money will follow.
Yes. Now again, let's get back to kettlebell moves. Which is your favorite move? There's so many moves in kettlebell lifting and not so
I
many.
I love
right?
all the moves. Generally, best move would be clean and jerk. I mean, it's very comprehensive exercises.
Uh-huh.
Exercise. Both pulling and pushing muscles are working. And it's your best bang for your buck exercises
mm-hmm.
out there. Clean and jerk or clean and press, anything which is called the long cycle, it's a very good move. It's general fitness wise also very good move.
And when you are very tired, like you came back from your work and you're very tired and you just have 5 minutes to train and then you just want to sleep, which move you will do? Again, because clean and jerk is a bit... heavy.
Yeah, clean and jerk can be also give you too good a workout, then you're too tired again.
Yes.
Yeah, so if I have really, there's a paucity of time, I would swing.
So
keep it simple.
Swing is
swing
king.
It. Swing is king.
Yeah.
I would swing, and make sure I'll, I'm swinging a heavy bell.
Uh-huh.
So I'm engaging more muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But I would swing and maybe combine that swing with a squat session, swings
mm-hmm.
and squat. Keep it that and I think I'm good.
I ask this question to anybody and everybody, whether it is podcast or no podcast. Where do you see yourself in next 5 years in kettlebell sports? And you can be, you can be imaginative. You can dream. And what is your dream, or you can give a realistic answer also.
Well, I'll give both sides since
you've
given
both
me that option. Thank
yes.
you for that. Dream would be to achieve the rank of master of sport.
Mm-hmm.
That is done with a 32 kilo kettlebell.
Yeah,
double 32s to be exact. It's if I say tough again, it's an understatement.
Yes,
double 32 kg lifting is not easy.
Right.
Okay. That would be a dream, and another dream would be to go and play in the Mecca of Kettle Sport, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go there and play and meet some of those kettlebell heroes, you know, guys like Ivan Denisov, Anton Anisenko,
Sergey
Rudnev. Live with them maybe on stage if I'm lucky enough.
Mm-hmm.
Put up a decent show. Okay, I'm not blind after success.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I lift, I'll make sure I put up a decent show, a respectable show. If I have 30-40 reps, and make sure it's done with absolute crispness and perfect. Okay, and that's the kind of dream I have, and it's a long term dream. And Masters is not going to happen in the next 5 years also, because it's going to take some getting to get to Master of Sport. As far as the sport in this country is concerned, I hope I'm able to perform with some. I can bring back some accolades for the country when I play, and people take more interest in my performance through take more interest in the sport through my performance, and more people try their hand at the sport. I mean, one doesn't have to stick with the sport. If one can try and see, they might just understand. They might just see that they're liking the sport. That is one way, and another way, another thing is, I hope, I know it's very difficult to imagine. I hope the sport is someday recognized by the government, or by at least by some sport bodies, give that respect to the sport.
Like in America and Russia, they're trying to make it an Olympic sport.
They have been trying to make it an Olympic sport for a long time. Because the sport has so many bodies involved, there is no one unified body.
Right.
Because there are so many bodies involved, there is always competition among them. You know,
who will take the credit?
Who will take the credit? And I've often said that, said this to my friend, to my friends here, that kettlebell sport is an orphan sport. At least in India, it's an orphan sport.
Right.
Everybody wants to be the father of this sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If a person is 5%, you will show he will know 20%.
Right.
Okay. Everybody wants to be the father of the sport, but nobody will understand the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sport leke culture macha dega, lekin asli cheez ko understand nahi karna. I am better than him. He is better than me. These things will happen. I mean, what is the point of this thing for an unknown sport? Why are you destroying friendships? Why are you destroying relationships? Why are you destroying unnecessary competition? क्या है ये मैं उससे better होना चाहता हूँ, मैं इससे better होना चाहता हूँ, for a sport which is not known.
Yeah,
for cricket I can understand.
100 lifters
yeah.
in this country.
So hardly 100 lifters, hardly, and they you see cutthroat competition. I mean,
you
एक साथ unified होके sport को grow करो यार, ठीक है? If you need to take a step back, I'll take a step back.
Yes.
I mean, if somebody else is getting some kind of attention, don't be jealous of that person.
Yeah.
Okay. Let it that person. अरे तो sport तो famous हो रहा है.
Yes, some way or other.
Yeah.
Getting.
I mean, one should not be also taking advantage of the sport by saying just because it doesn't have a organized body.
Mm-hmm.
One should not be also saying that I am the father of the sport.
Yeah, I am the body.
Yeah, I am the body. So, this inherent need of recognition is also pretty harmful for the sport. This मैं हूँ और कोई नहीं.
I think there is a reason because. This sports still is in fitness arena. It's not sports actually.
Hmm.
So like so far we used to learn from athletes that let's you know steal their ideas and use it for fitness. This sport is actually going from fitness to sport.
Hmm.
Because I don't know any athlete ever use kettlebell in like running. Or like lawn tennis, people play it. They don't consider it fitness. They play it.
Mm-hmm.
And fitness is coming, it's coming.
Byproduct.
Yeah, byproduct. Here, this sport is started from
fitness.
Gyms, and now, if it will go to, you know, actual stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Kettlebells, fitness is one.
Yes.
Sport is fitness plus.
Yes.
That's what it is. I mean, if you are really, really fit, you've done fitness with kettlebells for some time and you want to take it to a different level, you want to take it to the sport level. But again, try to understand the gap between fitness and the fitness of sport is huge.
Right.
It's a huge gap. Okay. If you lift it for some time in sport, don't consider, I mean, you're good. We respect you. Again, don't spoil the sport. okay, by you know, teaching wrong technique, one, unnecessary shor sharaba.
Right.
I mean, give the sport a chance to grow on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay, let's do it together and not be jealous of anybody or everybody. Don't be jealous of it, because only chance a sport can grow is if all of us combine our strength. There's a lot of good lifters in across the country.
Right.
It's dispersed across the country. A lot of good lifters in Bengal here. Got a lot of good lifters in Delhi,
yeah.
Other places. So they all have the power to make the sport very well. They are doing their bit, people outside. And if we all come together, I mean, and put our energies into it, sport will grow. But again, then people who aake karna padega, sab kuch kade padega, sport isn't recognized. So that thing comes along. So it's going to take a mammoth, massive movement to make the take the sport to the next level. Massive movement. And it also has, everybody has to agree on the same page also.
Right.
So it's a very difficult journey for the sport now. Very difficult journey. Even if it's just 5 years old, another maybe 7 to 10 years like at least to get sport to a different level.
Right. So government can recognize and give something to those athletes.
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody's not getting, everybody's going from their own pocket. I mean, it's you spend from your own pocket, not everybody can afford it.
But there is very there is an amazing thing with this city, Kolkata. I mean, we don't consider Kolkata as the Kolkata fitness industry anywhere near to Delhi or Bombay fitness industry. But in kettlebells, Kolkata is leading the way. And every, like, whether it is Dr. Ramanna or you or Arnab Sarkar or Anwar Wahab, everybody is some way or other is associated with kettlebell. You guys are more into that. But nothing like this is happening in Delhi or in Bombay, though we have huge
fitness circle
over there. There is a small circle and most of them are lifting bells. How did this happen, this magic?
See, kettlebells in Calcutta, I think, I'm not very sure about this fact. I think India may first time kettlebells Calcutta may have.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And it was, I don't know who bought this, I don't want to take his name also, but it was there. And kettlebell sport happened in India for the first time in Calcutta only. Okay, it happened in Endorphins Gym, organized by Arnav Sarkar and myself and some other friends. That was the first time kettlebell sport happened in India.
Right.
And we had a small but encouraging group of people lifting in it. It was a very garage kind of feel, people lifting in their you know, vests and barefoot, and it was fun. It was no competition, it was not a competition, it was a meet. And it was fun. That's how it started. And you know, the kind of people took interest in it year after year. The sport became bigger. We got a sponsor for a change in 2016. And we started promoting the sport more. I started putting up my videos a lot.
Right.
And a lot of people inquired, what is this sport? Ye acha lag raha hai. How are you lifting it so easily? Then I started telling people. I started teaching also. I taught two amazing women back in 2016. And now another lady has joined. And they have participated in the sport. And when women's play the sport, you know, you understand the sport is growing.
Right.
I mean, the growth might be slow for absolute reasons, but when ladies coming into the taking interest, the sport is gathering more people in it. And these ladies are fantastic athletes, my students of mine, and they inspire me.
Well, I think hopefully the other cities will also, you know, pick up the pace of Kolkata in kettlebell lifting.
I mean, Delhi has shown a great trend for kettlebell sport.
Yeah, okay. I have seen that, but still very few lifters, and most of us are from training fraternity.
Yeah.
We are not lay persons.
Yeah.
And I think it will take a lot of time to convince laymen, laypersons
yes,
to
yes.
join it.
A layperson, for a layperson to get into kettlebell sport, it will take a lot of passion.
Yeah.
For that person to sacrifice his fun time with friends, which I have done.
Yes.
I hardly have a chance to meet my friends due to my training schedule. For asking that from anybody is unfair. I mean,
yeah.
I can't be telling my students, aapko kettlebells ke khelna, but you have to get have to play kettlebell sport. No, I will not do that. It will seclude you from your friends. No.
Yeah.
Only if you're absolutely passionate about it, you want to, you're sure of doing this, then only I will push you. Otherwise, fitness karo, yeah. Kettlebell swings karo, press karo, clean karo, TGU karo, windmill karo. There are a lot of movements, there are fun movements and amazing way to get fit.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to play a kettlebell sport to...
because it's a sport.
Yeah, it's a sport. When you're playing a sport, you have to be extra dedicated. You have to follow a pattern. You have to follow... So to achieve success, you know, these champion athletes, they sacrifice a lot of their free time. They sacrifice a lot of their time for the sport. They're training all the time.
I was talking to a kettlebell guy from Russia and he said they do 3 to 4 sessions every day.
Mm-hmm.
They invest 6-7 hours in training, not just kettlebell training, but how to make kettlebell sports, their kettlebell moves better by doing different sessions and all. It seemed like they prepare for Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah. You'll have to spend a lot of hours to get good. You will have to spend a lot of hours to get good. Like the Russians are, I mean, lifting kettlebells, I mean, from when they were in their teens. I've seen teenagers, 15, 16-year-old guys lift double 32-kilo kettlebells.
Yes.
That is unthinkable. I mean, probably a 60, 70-year-old guy lifting 64 kilos endurance for 10 minutes for 80, 90, 100 reps. I can't even imagine that.
Right.
I mean, how are they doing it? That is because they started out early. Okay, they've been introduced to fitness early. Okay. And for somebody in India who's, say, 35 years of age, has a normal life, goes to a gym, does some bicep curls, bench press, and squat, asking him to play a sport, 20 kilo se tum snatch karo. 20 kilo, I lift 80 kilos in bench press. But after 3 minutes, he'll be crying his eyes out.
Yes. And you cannot put the bell down.
You cannot pull the bell down.
I still remember
it's a trap.
30 minutes marathon.
Yes. I was judging you that time. It was
were judging me at that time and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Horribly amazing experience.
And you have to keep on doing it,
And you know, you will disqualify if you'll put the bell down.
Yeah. I mean, if you're 1 second away and you keep the bell down, if you do 400 reps, it'll come to zero.
Yes, it comes to zero.
I mean, you have to complete that. And that's 30 minutes. I mean, people do it. One guy in Norway, I think, he recently did 5 hour snatch marathon with 24 kilos, then 1300 reps, 1300 reps.
God.
Imagine the kind of dedication these guys have.
Yes.
That kind of dedication is difficult to find with everyday people.
Right.
Unless this person has been into fitness, he's absolutely crazy about fitness, you need to have a teaspoonful of craziness to success in any sport. You need to be obsessed about a sport. Some kind of obsession is needed to get success.
Obsession is important.
It's important. People's obsession is bad. Yes, of course, it's bad if it's at unhealthy levels.
Yes.
If you're training kettlebell sport every day, twice a day, it's going to finish your body and mind.
Definitely. Obsession is unhealthy and being a sports person is not healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not people think
but
that
there has to be
healthy.
Some kind of obsession, some little amount, enough to drive you.
Right.
You know, in anything in life, you need to success. You need to be success in a corporate life. Thoda sufficient zarurat hai.
Yes.
You need to be a actor. You want to excel in your acting skills. Thoda pagalpan zarurat hai.
Right.
At the same time, yahan pe thoda sa pagalpan zarurat hai to ignore those stresses, ignore those tiredness. Like I've ignored it because I'm a little obsessed about kettlebell sport. I love it. I talk kettlebell sport all the time. If anyone not lifting, I'm looking at videos.
Yeah.
I'm doing my research. I'm gathering knowledge.
So yeah. Lifting is going on in your mind.
Lifting is going on in my mind. What is my next target?
Yeah. And so it would be my last question.
Okay.
And I have taken a lot of time.
Not really. My pleasure.
We have started this Road to Revamp thing, this podcast thing pretty recently. How do you think it will change people's mindset if they will listen? Give me your suggestions how we can make it slightly better from this time to other times. And do you really think, I mean, I don't know why I'm asking this, but do you really think people will listen a 1 hour interview in or a podcast in such, you know, people have no focus these days?
Good points. People have people don't have time these days.
Yes.
People are rushing all the time.
Yes.
And what you guys are doing is exemplary, selfless, very selfless of you and your friend Sagar to do this, to go to people, from people, and you know, ask them about their experiences, bringing them to light, you know, sharing it on social media and other platforms for to people to understand and learn. I think it's a great initiative. Thank you for
Thank you.
Yeah, as far as making it better, I mean, only time will tell. I mean, you have you start out by keeping it simple. You know, I've always said that you started out. Or if you don't get enough responses, you might have to then change your pattern. I mean, it's 1 hour is people are not listening. Then 30 minutes maybe. And maybe throw in some subtitles somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, on the screen. So people are reading and listening at the same time. Maybe.
Okay, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because if some trainer uses some fancy term, technical terms, layperson wouldn't understand that.
Right.
I mean, if you throw in some subtitles with it, kya hota hai? I'm seeing. Okay, he did say that word.
Okay.
So the relation from hearing and looking will be easier, and understanding will be easier.
Right.
So maybe subtitles in the future, but I think 1 hour is a decent time for a person to share his or her experiences.
Yes,
and
otherwise,
keep it to that. Yeah.
Otherwise, he'll have to restrict himself.
Yeah, too much.
Yes.
Yeah, let people pour their hearts out. I mean,
right.
That's how you will get honest interviews.
Right.
If you curtail the time, people will have to be diplomatic. People will have to be. You don't want people to be diplomatic too much, because we are not really celebrities. we are regular people as well.
Yes.
And we are regular people who are trying to connect to regular people. That's how it goes.
So, Samrat, thanks a lot for giving
my pleasure.
Your time and amazing, candidly amazing interview. And you are not a fitness professional. I think that's why you are much more free in giving your opinions. And without even taking any names, you pour your heart out for us.
Yes.
We would like to come back to you again and again to get more gems. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, thanks for doing this.
We were in conversation with Mr. Samrat Sen. My name is Sagar Gupta, and you are listening to Road to Revamp.